Yeah, we'll be in touch. All right, well, welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, and I've got Tessa Waters in the car.
Hello.
A legendary comedian, and we've just done a gig at the local, which is a Monday night room.
Longest running room in the world. No, not in the world, in Australia.
I think it's the longest running room in Australia, maybe. Yeah.
In
Melbourne, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's definitely in Australia because we had the 14th birthday last month.
Did you do that? Did you do the 14th? Yeah, right.
And it's probably the longest consistently running.
Yeah, right.
Room in Australia.
Cool. And you were very funny. I don't think I've seen you before.
Yeah, I think Sandy's. We were saying this tonight, I think.
Yeah.
First time.
Well, I kind of stopped seeing comedy when I had children, or my partner did, and it was, I'd turn up and do my own spots, and I'd see the MC and a few acts, but I stopped going to shows and stuff.
You stopped wanting to kind of see the...
Oh, no, I wanted to see it, but I didn't have the... With babies and that,
is it the reality of that you... There's no way you can't not get up at, like, whatever time the babies get up.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it's that hardcore reality, isn't it?
It is, and it's a kind of thing of... you go to your partner, oh, I'm just going out to see a show now. What?
Yeah. What? We're in this together, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. That's what people do. I mean, the guys that go on cruise ships or whatever, I mean, sometimes they have to because of money. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, there's men and women that do it, that leave their kids, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can avoid
everyone makes it work. There's a lot of amazing carny families that I know that, you know, like, make it work.
Yeah, they travel with the...
Yeah.
Do you mix in that kind of... Because you watching you tonight... You're a stand-up, but you're also a bit of a clown.
Yeah. I would identify as a carny, I think.
A
carny comedian. Like, I did a gig last year in Adelaide, which really kind of summed up my place in the industry, the entertainment industry, which I did. Like, the first gig I did was the big late-night stand-up show.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know...
And isn't Adelaide Fringe?
Yeah. And it was in the garden, which is like the big sort of
focal
point of the... It's like a real carnival kind of atmosphere. And so the big stand-up show was like, you know, lots of sort of people in jeans and flanny shirts doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Really great stand-up. Like, awesome stuff. It was a packed-out show. And then it was all like beers and pizza backstage.
Classic,
and good fun chats and stuff. And then I was like running to a Eurovision Song Contest spoof night in the tent next door, which was also like 400 people in the audience, but all like drag queens and cabaret people,
yeah,
and like showgirls and like
right.
And all the best lollies and all the best champagne.
Wow.
That's where I'm one foot in each, I think.
Yeah, that's not such a bad place to be.
Yeah, it's a good place.
It's not a bad place to be.
A good time.
Because you'll get work in both areas if you can do both.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's I'm getting away with it so far. It's good.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy actually for 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's my stuff has only really sort of taken off in the last sort of 3 or 4. So a lot of people are like, well, I've never seen you before. Where have you come from? I'm like, oh, I've just been here. But I think that's what happens a lot. The first 5 years sometimes can just be figuring out who you are.
My first 5 years was, traumatic. And you start off by imitating comics you like. You don't know you're doing it, but you're up there doing someone or something, you know.
Totally.
And then it takes a while to find your own voice.
Yeah.
Where'd you start?
I started doing clown, actually. I came up through more of a theatre, like a more of a serious physical theatre.
Oh, yes.
Acting background. And then I got into clown just after uni, and just because I've always loved comedy, I've always loved slapstick, and like, you know, been brought up on like, you know, French and Saunders and Singing in the Rain.
Awesome.
And all that kind of stuff. So I've always had a great love for that. So I kind of started doing that, but then and the first show I did was like a silent physical comedy kind of clown show called How to Be a Lady in 2009.
So you started by doing a solo show.
Yeah.
Wow, so you did, like most people start doing spots, but you started doing a solo show.
Yeah, I think it's because I had a theatre background, so it was kind of like,
it's a one-woman show, it's like, yeah, what you do, kind of.
Yeah, that was kind of the way in, and I just wanted to see, and I was also like, you know, trying out to be an actor and stuff, so I was, you know, and I'm not, when I was in my early 20s, I'm still not a conventional-looking woman or whatever, so...
Yeah, but you could play a great wacky best friend.
Oh, I am. You know. I have that market cornered. Like that know, is the, my back. Quirky, I'm in.
It's like that. She wants to show the wrong girl, and she's so not wrong. She's like an incredibly.
I love that word. Like
she's wrong. No, she's not wrong. She looked. She's a very attractive person.
Yeah.
But I think she's got the wacky best friend.
The last, two auditions I've been for is like the quirky best friend basically.
Yeah,
and the other one was a lesbian street fighter. Which I don't know how people got that from seeing my stuff. But
you could do great quirky best friend.
I know. I feel like that's my bag. You know, if anyone's listening and needs a quirky best friend,
sure.
Cast, then Tessa Waters is your gal.
Yeah. I just get dads and butchers these days.
Dads and butchers.
Butchers, yeah. It's gonna be butchers. Hey, roll here as a butcher. okay, well, yeah,
I wonder
sure.
why a butcher and not like a hardware guy. Or
yeah,
like
I could do a hardware guy, though. I reckon I could do a hardware guy. Convincingly, definitely. Yeah, I could be in a Bunnings ad.
Yeah.
Bunnings, warehouse.
I feel like I'm on the cusp of being a mum.
Yeah, you could play a mum.
But I'm a little bit too jazzy to be a mum. I could be a jazzy mum.
There's always jazzy mums, though. There's always a slightly alternative mum at school. Yeah. Definitely. Steiner mum. You could be a Steiner mum.
I could definitely be a Steiner.
Montessori.
I kind of went to a Steiner school as well.
Did you?
Yeah, I think that's where that comes from.
We only met, you've been around 10 years. I've been around a while.
Yeah.
But we only met last week or the week before.
Maybe 2 weeks ago. Yeah, maybe
doing
like,
a. We can't say too much about it. But we were doing a they called it a workshop or a pilot at Channel 9. Like a panel show, basically. They do these things all the time. Mm. And we met there, which is hilarious.
It was a fun day.
Well, hopefully, by the time this podcast comes out next week, it'll be on screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll it's all be Tessa cast. And Dave. Wow, it's the new show. Rocket Man, burning. Wow.
Has that confidentiality agreement that we signed.
Maybe we'll edit this out. It was a TV show. Was it Channel 9?
It was Sons and Daughters remake.
Sons and Daughters, yeah. You're right. It was
a Country Practice remake.
But
reboot.
But that was interesting. But have you been offered much of that stuff? That kind of.
Yeah, no, actually, it's all sort of like a bit new to me, really, still. I think because I have come from a carny thing, people often see my stuff and don't quite know how to place me in
TV.
Because they're like, she's in a lot of sequins and she's doing a lot of dancing. And there's a lot of feminism. I don't know how this, especially Channel 9, I don't know how this will work on the television screens. Wake up Australia, I'm not sure.
ABC, SBS.
Yeah, that's my bag. Now Vice is working with SBS as well. That could totally be my thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's who I need to pitch to. Totally.
Definitely.
But yeah, I didn't go to a Steiner school. I went to a yoga school.
Oh my god, where was this? You were Queenslander.
I'm a Queenslander, so I'm country Queenslander, and I grew up at a school that was based in. We did yoga every day. It was like a normal school, but like it was based in yoga philosophies. So it wasn't like Steiner, but it was definitely a hippie alternative school.
And where was this?
This is in a little town called Warwick in southeast Queensland, in Toowoomba, about 2 hours southeast from Brizzy.
Okay, and is there a bit of a hippie community there, is there?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of... it actually originated down here, just up the road from the local tap house. It originated next door to the Astor Theatre, where St. Michael's now is.
I can tell you, St. Michael's is not a yoga school.
No, it's definitely not.
It's a prestigious
private. And this was still a private, but more of a yoga. It was out in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yoga was big. Yoga was new.
There's a yoga school in Melbourne somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, because Frank Woodley, you know, from Lana, he is a big yoga person. I saw him once at the airport.
He's so bendy, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's got a yoga body.
Yeah.
Like, when he takes his shirt off, there's no fat. It's not that I've looked at him, but I've seen him with his shirt off. I'm like, oh my God, Frank, you're ripped. Anyway, I saw him at the airport years ago, and he goes, oh, I'm going to New York. I'm like, wow, New York, you go to Letterman? And he goes, no, I'm going to a yoga retreat. He was going to a yoga retreat.
That's awesome.
But he sent...
I should chat to Woodley about
you
yoga.
You should. Oh, yeah, Woodley's into yoga. And some of his kids went to a yoga school for a while. There's one in Melbourne somewhere.
Wow, that's interesting.
I don't know if they are anymore. But
I find it really interesting how yoga has become...
It's mainstream.
Yeah, people are doing like heavy metal yoga.
Yeah.
They're doing like booty shaking yoga. I have a real problem with Well, I don't have a real problem. It's not a massive problem. But I have an annoyance, a bugbear, with people who like, go do a retreat in Bali and then come back and go, I'm going to be a yoga teacher. I'm like, no, you're going to teach us how to stretch. You're not a, you're not a flipping yoga. Like, I went to a yoga school with, like, the guru, like, a guru guy, you know. Like, you can't do a two-week workshop.
So your parents must have been into yoga pretty heavily.
Oh yeah, they were big into yoga.
Are they still into yoga? If they're
around? Pretty much. Yeah, they still practice.
They're very healthy.
Yeah, pretty much. You kind of. I mean, I think they've. I don't know. I don't know if yoga is the, you know, the be all and end all of health. You know.
Well, it's stretching and exercising.
It is. It's definitely good for you. The meditative point is very good.
Yeah, right.
Like, I find I still kind of like fall back on that.
So when did you leave Warwick? Like.
So it was, I left just after year 12. So when I was 18.
To go to uni. Where'd you go to uni? Toowoomba or?
No, I went to Brizzy.
Brizzy, yep.
Queensland University of Technology.
Sure.
QUT. Went to do theatre studies at QUT.
Oh, lots of lying on the floor pretending to be a worm.
Lots of contact impro, aka dry humping. Lots of,
Yeah, people hugging too much, a little bit too much. Yeah. Oh, that's
good times.
That's quite interesting. And then, when did you move to Melbourne?
And then Melbourne was 2006.
I'd say you've been here for a while.
Yeah, I still kind of say I'm from Queensland, even though I've been here.
Yeah.
I lived in Brisbane for two years, and then been in Melbourne way longer.
Were you exposed to a lot of comedy when you were growing up? Were your parents into it, or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we watched a lot of ABC, which then there...
Yeah.
So there was a lot of...
There would have been one or two
Monty
stations.
Monty Python, a lot of, you know, Mr. Bean, Dawn of... French and Saunders.
Yeah.
You know, Fawlty Towers. A lot of The Bill.
What did your parents do for jobs? The Bill. The Bill used to be on two nights a week. And when I was on Nova Radio with Hearsy and Kate, Tony came in from the... I was so excited.
Oh,
Tony, the big guy. Yeah, he was always in uniform, wasn't he, Tony?
Yeah.
And,
Oi, you're nicked. And I love
that. He's like, I'm sorry, mate, I don't know who you are. And Tony goes, I've been on your TV Tuesday and Saturday night for the last 12 years, mate. How do you not know who I am? And I thought, wow, it's Tony. It's
Tony,
so exciting.
He's got the big nose, right?
No, that's Reg.
Oh, Reg.
Reg.
Reg is my favourite.
Reg is awesome.
Yeah.
Reg was great.
I also grew up on like an era of play school that was really hilarious. Like John.
Yeah, play school. Yeah, John.
John was hilarious.
Yeah, John, who's...
Noni, hilarious.
John, whose daughter married Russell Crowe, is it?
Really?
You talking about John?
I didn't know that.
John
that
Spencer?
Goss?
John?
Yeah, like blonde John.
Yeah.
Well,
I might have it wrong, but one of the guys...
Oh my God,
school,
I need to look up that gossip. That's amazing.
Daughter married Russell Crowe.
Wow. All right.
The one who put... He's saying, pick up the litter in your street. That guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and... With the kind of the massive comb over?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah,
that's John.
There were two Johns. There was John, that guy, and then there was the kind of the more sort of rotund John who kind of kept corpsing all the time.
Right. You would be a good play school presenter.
Oh, man, that's the gig, right?
That is
the gig.
I would love to do that.
That would be... That's like serving for your country.
Yeah. when my kids was little, we used to go to this thing called Heidi Ho, which is really cute. It's sort of old-fashioned. You'd sit in a circle... And the woman Amanda, who used to be in an 80s band, and she would lead the singing.
Yeah.
And they would just sing all those cute songs like, you know, pick up your litter in the street.
Yeah.
And she said, she was amazing.
I can't remember any of the songs.
Yeah, I can't remember. You're right. I should know them all because she's...
They're all in
me,
there somewhere.
She
They'll
goes
come,
to me,
come
you know all these songs. And I just knew them through osmosis. I was like singing along.
Yeah.
Hush Little Teddy Bear, you know, like, oh, they were great songs. Anyway, we should both be on Play School.
Oh, mate, that would be amazing.
Also, I was trying fat, to some 50-year-old guys. Looking at that market.
And some sort of like glam Euro trash kind of lady with a massive Bogan accent.
Sequins. I like the ones with sequins, mummy.
Actually, kids, sequins like crack for kids.
They
like,
love sequins.
When I do my kids' shows, I did a show recently in Adelaide. And I had like 200 kids, and the show is really interactive, so half the kids are up with me on the stage the whole time. And I was wearing this really like a rainbow sequin pencil skirt. And I didn't realise that what the effect would be on the kids.
Yeah, they loved it.
And of course, the pencil skirt's at their eye level. And so at one point, I'm just getting like felt up by like 50 kids just like patting the sequins. And I had to be like, sorry, guys, you're going to please just keep going with the show and stop.
Yeah, stop touching me.
Stop touching me in front of
I can't touch you guys.
No, it's really weird. Illegal. It's a bad...
What's the difference between performing for kids and adults? Like, I've been asked to perform for kids, but I always say no, I'll be right.
Look, I think it's the same principles in a way, you know, like figure out what makes them laugh and go with it.
Yeah, but
kids are way, like their attention span is so much shorter.
Oh, it's
that
like
if
quick
you don't
stuff.
Grab them, then you're gone. And if you don't command that space, then they just walk all over you. And they're the worst.
Oh, it's like being a teacher.
Yeah.
In a way.
You just have to kind of charge along and.
Yeah. Bang, grab them.
And it's, you know, you kind of, it's a very good practice in, like, you know, being aware of the space and being aware of the audience and figuring out how to work, you know, each little kind of corner of the room, because
it's a great
one
skill to have.
Crawling
great,
around.
Yeah. And, I think it's a great skill. To be able to perform for children is a great skill.
I love it. It's the best. And the shows I do are really interactive, so they're often, like, you know, bring out, the kids tell me a lot of stuff and bring myself the thing. Yeah, so it's great.
The parents are there. Oh, don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's great.
What you do a fair bit of interactive stuff with the audience.
Mm.
And you enjoy that?
I love it. That's what totally hooks me into your world. Yeah, that's rocks my world. There's that kind of figuring out what people want in the moment is really exciting
because
to me.
It's stuff like that. I mean, I do a bit of audience talk and stuff like that with them.
Mm.
And some of that stuff is often the highlight of the night.
It's so much fun
because I think they realize it's a subconscious thing where they go, this is just happening right now and this will never happen again.
And it's for me, you know, like I'm here and they're listening to what I want and listening to what I, you know, I'm suggesting. I think maybe because the world we're living in it's so interactive, but it's so disjointed as well. Like with all the online mediums and devices and everything. And I'm so freaking hooked to my phone all the time.
Yeah, sure.
But I think people really want to have a say in what happens and really love watching their influence on things.
Right.
So I think that's kind of where my comedy comes in, is where they can kind of guide where we go a little bit.
Do you watch people who do audience participation stuff and just go, oh, I wish I thought of that? Like you wish.
Oh, totally.
Like, I didn't see this, but Jason Burns one where he was.
Yeah, he's really interesting. I think I just got into him recently, actually.
He did this great one at the end of his show where he would pull three people up from the audience and go, okay, I'm going to teach you some dance moves just as a finale, right? He'd have a bloke and two women, right?
Mm.
Little did anyone know, the two women are professional dancers who are there every night. And so he's got this gormless bloke up there and these girls, he goes, okay, we'll play the music. And of course these girls just take it away. See, that's a great idea.
I love it.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's great. I do a bit in my most recent show where I hula hoop a man.
Yeah.
And that's really fun because when I first started doing it, like I had this idea to do this invisible hula hoop routine, just as like a gag.
Yeah.
And then the first person I got up to do it when I was workshopping the show in Perth was a young female acrobat, and she was just excited to be on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's like, "Oh, am I going to be the hula hoop?" I'm like, "Fuck yeah, let's do it."
Yeah.
And then she sort of then starts climbing on me and I start trying to hula hoop her, and then this bit was born, and then that sort of evolved into the funniest way to do it was with a grown man, because lifting a lady is not as funny for me, but if I lift a man, everyone's like, "Wah!"
Yeah, of course, it's impressive.
But yeah, it's great watching. What I love about it is it's a bit that teaches the person who's with me how to be funny. Like, I teach them all these, like, little tricks of how to work the crowd.
Yeah, sure.
And you get to see them kind of have their realisation of...
Oh, even... I remember going to see Barry Humphries years ago, and he does audience participation.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if he was one of the first to do it, but he gets people up and they get dressed up and stuff like that. And he rings their home and stuff and...
It's funny, isn't it? Because people often go to come and they go, "Oh, I don't want to get involved."
It's true.
Don't get me up on stage, and I sympathise with that. I hate, like, it's terrible if you get someone up on stage who doesn't want to be there. It's the worst.
Yeah, you've had that experience.
Yeah, like if someone genuinely doesn't want to be on stage,
you just let them go.
Yeah, I let them go because no one actually wants to see someone.
Yeah, suffer.
Really suffer.
Yeah.
And I don't want that person who's bought a ticket to, like, have a crap time.
Yeah, exactly.
I want them to have a good time. Yeah, so yeah, yeah, I yeah. always like. I've gotten really good at kind of picking the people who are like keen to have
it's a body language thing, I reckon.
Yeah, totally.
When I talk to the crowd and I see someone on it, I just move straight on. Like, move straight on.
Yeah.
But often, I'll guarantee you, in a crowd of 50, there'll be at least 5 that are keen for it. At least 5. Probably half.
Yeah, and they might be a bit reluctant, but they're like, oh, nah, go on. And you can see, like, a little twinkle in their eyes.
It's interesting that you love talking to people, and that in a way, that's a very Queensland thing. I reckon Queenslanders, I noticed when I go up to Queensland, they love getting involved and they love talking. I remember Michelle Laurie, who did radio up there for years, said, I was talking about doing talk back on commercial radio, and sometimes, like at 6 a.m, it's hard to get people to call up. She said, there's never that problem in Queensland. They call.
Everyone wants a blaze chat.
All the time.
It's true, actually. Yeah.
And that's it might be a Queensland thing. And you produce your own shows?
Like I do,
festival shows?
Yeah. I self-produce. And I started out like...
You started producing...
I've always done performing, but I always loved producing equally. So when I first started out, I'd be, you know, doing a show, but then also producing mate shows and...
Yeah.
So doing all that. And then I also produced some short films, and I really love talking to people about their ideas and then helping to make that happen.
Oh, yeah, that's an unusual thing for a performer, because most performers are selfish. And then, you know, what you meet, like a lot of stand-ups, especially in the stand-up world, they're very focused on themselves.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Whereas you're obviously looking outwards, which is very good trait.
I think it's a bit like how I approach my comedy. I'm just fascinated by people and fascinated by ideas, and I really love seeing someone have a little spark of an idea and going, nah, you can do that. Like,
You're encouraging.
Like, go do that.
You're a very positive person. I get the vibes.
It's the yoga school, man.
Yeah, it's the yoga school.
Okay. I haven't let you do yoga every day in your life for 20 years.
That's very interesting. Do you find it exhausting, though, producing your own shows?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do it too myself, and it's like you've got to organise the posters. You've got to organise the publicity. You've got to organise the...
Yeah, like, I have.
What is going on here? We're on a tram track.
It's like Brazil.
And there's guys in a truck throwing down witches' hats, and there's steam.
There's a whole bunch of smoke coming out.
Man, that is
a whole bunch of high vis.
And he's got an interesting beard.
Looks like tram trackers.
What are they doing?
Did he have a whistle or a mustache? I wasn't quite sure.
I don't know.
It's kind of a Hitler deal.
Weird thing.
Yeah.
Funny how that mustache has never come back.
No.
The Hitler.
No one's gonna ironically do that, really.
Right. But
no hipster's gonna do that.
No, they're not.
No.
It is. It can be exhausting producing your own shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we go left here. Where will we
figure
go?
Figure out where I'm going. Yeah. If you go left here and then right on the. Left here. Yeah. That's good. This is the first night at my new house.
I'm
not
going to
explain on the podcast where it is.
No.
But it's the first... I've just moved in today. I spent all day moving. I'm going to do the gig tonight.
Who are you living with?
Two awesome dudes just found on the internets.
Wow.
Some mate recommended. I know one of them through... Like, he's a set designer, so I know him through the scene a little bit.
So they're aware of your career, your job.
They are. They're aware.
Yeah.
I always like to announce myself when I...
Jessa Waters, I'm a performer. I'm a comedian.
Hello, darlings. Good morning, darlings. I expect some champagne at breakfast, darlings. Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, we're going to go up here.
Yeah.
All right, hang on a sec. Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app, and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. Also, thanks to CoinJar. Set up a CoinJar account to buy and sell Bitcoin. It's really, really easy. No, trust me, it is. Just go to nearly.com.au/thedebrief to get a bonus when you set up your account. And Homie, they're a Melbourne-based social enterprise creating pathways out of homelessness. Do you know at the moment there's about 100,000 Australians live without a permanent address, and of those, 20,000 people sleep on the streets or in a makeshift shelter. Why not change this? Come on. Go to www.homie.com.au. Okay, back to the program. Back on the Debrief with Dave O'Neill and Tessa Waters with me. I'm giving her a lift home, and this is the first night in her new share house.
So excited.
So exciting.
Man. As a carny, I have my stuff in storage a lot, so I haven't really lived anywhere for a very, very long time.
So you go from festival to festival?
Yeah. So last year I was on the road for 10 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was full on.
And do you, you also work with other people too, don't you?
Yeah.
You did that show, I saw you.
The
were you
the,
wearing giant vagina hat?
Yeah, the, it's called Glittery Clittery, a consensual party, Fringe Wives Club. Yeah, so we.
Do you enjoy working with other people?
Yeah, I do. It's the first year I've done it for a long time, and I'm like, wow, this is really fun playing with others.
I always say great. Doing a solo show.
Yeah.
Is quite lonely.
It is. I've done. This is my. I'm getting ready to do a new show at Melbourne Fringe this year, and it's my. Seventh solo show, I think. No, sixth maybe. No, I think it's my seventh. I can't remember. I've lost count. But
yeah.
And I love writing. I love creating new stuff. But I'm really hungry to work with other people at the moment because it's that collaboration, that bounce that you have with someone else.
Yeah, I just think when you do a solo show, you do your show and then the tech comes backstage or when he goes, yeah, that was pretty good. All right, we've got the next person coming in. And you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Just go home now or go to my hotel room or whatever.
Well, this is how Fringe Wives came about because we were all doing solo stuff and I can't remember where I live. Oh, no, it's a new one. We were all doing solo stuff and then we would always be in that, we'd always meet in the bar afterwards and like have a debrief and then that became this real friendship and that became like talking about work.
Who was in the show with you?
It's Victoria Falconer Pritchard and Rowena Hudson.
Oh, okay, great.
Vicky was in East End Cabaret for many years, which is a cabaret outfit out of London, and Ro does storytelling and
Is that you in there?
That's me in there. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to have to go around the block again. Is that your taxi box?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, go around the block.
I'll go around the block because I've got a few more questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice. We'll just crack some laps.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real work. That's a real Queensland
thing, yeah.
I can gather dowies, can.
They call it doing circuits in Tasmania. Circuits or, yeah.
We'd crack laps because it'd be only like one, there's one street, you know, so you have to just go up and down and crack the laps.
I was in Launceston one night doing the Festival Roadshow, which I know you've just started doing.
Yeah, love
and,
it.
Yeah, it's good fun. And I was in Launceston on a Friday night. I was talking to, it was Tuesday. And he goes, mate, you like go in the main street. There will be a fight. There will be a fight. I said, there will not be a fight. He goes, mate, it's Launceston Friday night. There will be a fight. And seriously, as I hung up on him, the fight came to me. So this guy came into the foyer of the theatre with blood on him. And he goes, I go, oh, are you all right? And he goes, there's just some guys out there. And I said, do you want me to call the police? And he goes, his last words to me, I am the police. And he went back out into it. Lonnie Launceston. I interviewed the mayor of Launceston once and I told her that story. Yeah. Because there's a certain amount of energy in Launceston. Anyway, cracking laps.
We're cracking laps.
Okay, so
cracking laps in Brunswick.
This is the debrief. What went well tonight and why?
In my bit or in
just in general, whatever.
Oh, look, I think it was a small crowd, but it was a nice crowd. I really enjoyed trying stuff with that crowd. I think they were kind of open. There was one guy in the front. The local has these couple of couches on the very front.
Yeah.
And they're right in the front of the stage. The people are right in your crotch. And this guy was pretty much like asleep. He was engaged. He was listening. He was having a great old time. He had a good chat to me afterwards.
And he had a novel.
Yeah.
He had a novel.
He was just having a lovely to do it.
What didn't go well then and why, you reckon?
I think they were an easily fatigued audience because there were not many of them. So I feel like normally, you know, bits that maybe go over really well.
Well, you can get a critical mass with, say, 50 to 100 people. Yeah. You get a roll going.
Keep bubbling along, hey. Whereas when you've got 10, you got to, like, keep them fresh, keep them in the room, keep them involved.
Were there any organisational things that got in your way, do you think?
I think that the physical logistics of that room can be tricky.
Yes.
Because
couches.
Your couches spread out. You're kind of up a little bit higher than people. The energy is spread out in that room, so it's hard to kind of, like, really kind of grab a hold of people.
How can we do better next time? That's my final question.
Maybe sort of prepare some better material.
Or bring 50 people in a bus.
Bring people in a bus. Maybe have dinner beforehand. I was just eating crisps.
Oh, yeah, you were eating beetroot chips.
I thought it was going to be hot chips.
I know.
It wasn't. I was outraged. It was still delicious. They do good chips. Food at local tap house.
Oh, the best thing ever.
Hot chips just on my life.
Hot chips.
Yeah, so again, I'm a carny. So,
yeah, you love hot chips.
Hot chips.
Live on hot chips.
Live on it.
Well, let's play a song. What song? Yeah. What music do you like? What music are you into?
Oh,
what's tickling your fancy?
I'm really loving this song by the Scissor Sisters at the moment.
Ah, Scissor Sisters.
Called I Want a Kiki.
Let's play that. I love the Scissor Sisters. Yeah. I've never bought any of their records or CDs.
Yeah.
But I do love them when I hear them. It's... You know there's a comedy connection to the Scissor Sisters?
Really?
The keyboardist, one of the main people in the band,
yeah.
Dad, is Graham Garden from The Goodies.
No way!
Yep. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, he was the funniest goody.
He was. He absolutely was.
So I love them all. Timbrel
That's
Taylor.
Fantastic.
The blonde guy.
Yeah.
Bill Oddie.
Yeah.
The little one. And then yeah, Graham Garden was the kind of the... what was he? I bet he was very funny.
That's sensational.
Yeah, he's it's his daughter or son.
Because I saw them at a... I saw them at like the Phillip Island Festival a couple of years ago. The New Year's Eve band.
Oh, cool.
And we were all having an exceptionally good time at New Year's Eve.
I'd have to say they're a bit of a carny band. They look totally carnival.
People were throwing beer bottles at them, like the Blues Brothers. And they were like disco dancing around. They were like playing a game of Frogger and like dodging like the glass beer bottles. It was amazing.
Oh, I'm so happy to play some Scissor Sisters. Great. Well, Tessa, where can people find you on the interweb?
Tessa Waters Comedy on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes.
And Tess Waters on Twitter.
You're pretty easy to find. I found you.
Yeah, just Google Tessa Waters.
I found you.
I'm a pretty big personality. In the sense of humanness.
Well, now I'm reversing into a park outside your new shed house.
All right.
Should I come? I'll come in and we'll have a bong. That'll shock them.
Okay, let's do it.
Guys.
Let's have a dashy. And yeah. Like, this is my mate Dave. We're just in a comedy game together.
No, we'll go get some beers and corn chips.
We're still building our rapport. I don't know if I can bring out the bongs yet.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just remember, you know, my friend moved into a shed house around here in the 80s. And it was the one and only night I've ever taken acid with him. And this guy, what was his name? Deggs or something from the country. And he's a real country boy and moved in.
Yeah.
And he was sitting in the lounge room and we all come in nodding and all of my mates from high school, and we sit down, and this poor country kid sort of looks at us, and my mate who's living in the shed house with him goes, yeah, we just took acid. And this guy, look on his face, was like, what have I moved into? Anyway.
That was me going to Brisbane and like going to uni and something, like meeting all the stoners and like,
well, I've just dropped a tab. We'll go in there.
Okay, nice one. Let's do it.
Thanks, Tessa Waters.
Okay, thanks for having me, man.
It's a debrief, Dave O'Neill. And Tessa Waters.